Hello, and welcome to episode 548 of the League Rundown. This is your 2025 LTA America's Week 1 preview. And this episode is lovingly entitled, Captain America's A Brave New Region. I'm your host, Kangas, and I'm joined by two esteemed co-hosts. Up first, we have Mr. Mazel PL.
I hate that title, but hello.
Come on, I was proud of that
You
one.
Also never responded to me about when we're making plans to go see the movie, so you know maybe I'm a little salty.
Oh, shit, I do need to... I'll text you back after the pod. Do we want to make plans now? We can make plans now.
It's during the intro? Yeah, let's make plans right now.
All right, we'll look at Friday on the calendar. But for now, we also have joining us very special guest because we are entering into the Americas portion of LTA. That's where the North and the South have intra-regional competition to see who goes to first stand. So who better to join us than one of the unofficial English casters, fluent in Portuguese and English. We have Enrique 4y4. Welcome, 4y4, to the pod.
Thank you guys for having me. I am excited to be here, talk some LTA South. I'm looking forward to the games because I've made peace with myself at this point that, you know,
oh, no.
The only way to go from here is up. After a disastrous showing, a Twitter meltdown-inducing showing from our Brazilian teams in Split 1, the only way we can go from here is up. So, yeah, really excited about the games this weekend.
Happy you mentioned that to start off, because one of the first things that people might notice if they look at the top four teams is that there's only two Brazilian teams. Two of the LLA teams actually took seed 1 and 2. So we'll talk a little bit about that, as well as what to expect from them going forward. We'll also recap, of course, the final week of LTA North. But before then, we always have our global news. So let's get into it. First of all, there's been a time update. Data time change for the Americas portion. I'm calling it the Americas portion. Technically, it's just called LTA 2025 Split 1 Playoffs. That's boring. I think Americas is a little cooler. But it got updated. It was originally 1 p.m. Pacific time, but then it's not in Pacific time zone. It's in Brazil in the Sao Paulo studio, so they changed the time zone to fit the local audience much better to 11 a.m. Pacific time, which will allow the people that are actually in the stadium to stick around and enjoy the show and not be going home at like midnight. So I think that's a really cool change. Enrique, what was the fan perception? Because I know that you're a little more in tune with that from the Southern fan side.
Yeah, they were not stoked, I think, to use a technical term about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because like you said, I mean, it's one thing if you're just asking like the, you know, people to stay up and watch. You can watch on your phone as you're laying in bed, blah, blah, blah. But like, if you want the full Brazil experience, which everyone does, North and South, you know, the head honchos, the suits that make the money, that make the decisions, they want the full Brazilian atmosphere. And it's not like it's on a weeknight or anything, but you want people to be able to go there and not worry about getting home, you know, at a ridiculous hour. It's exactly what you said. So people, Brazilian Twitter flipped out. But Riot, to their credit, promptly responded. So, fair play.
Yes. And I know that from the Riot side, this is kind of like, maybe not tinfoil hat theory, but it seems like they, for the most part, try and so plan the schedule so that when LEC ends, they can have those viewers go to LTA.
Yeah.
And because LEC, heads up, has changed their schedule to be a little later, that's why it was going to be a later start time for LTA. But I think it's the better decision to say, yes, viewership globally on the stream will take a hit, but at least we're going to have, you know, the people that are hosting the country, you should plan it around them. I think that's the better thing to do. So, speaking of, a lot of people probably would have noticed by now, last week we talked about LEC. I misread the schedule, did not realize LEC playoffs were starting this coming weekend. So if you want to get all of our thoughts on that and you haven't yet heard last weekend's episode, check that out, because that's where we did the full LEC rundown. Today we're just going to be talking about LTA. But before that, we're also going to talk about LPL. Mazel, it's your time. Give us the LPL
update. Mazel PL time.
It's Mazel PL time, everybody. We got to have like a little jingle to play on my soundboard.
It's Mazel PL. Time.
Oh, getting Scott in there. Okay.
Anyways, so we are getting through the final week before playoffs. We only have 4 more days as of today's recording. Unfortunately, most of the matches are pretty much not important, which is unfortunate.
Okay,
but it's a lot of the final lead-ins to the playoffs, which first and second seed matters a lot because first seed gets double elimination. Second seed is immediately in their elimination match in the playoffs. So the only group that has not been decided fully in terms of what positions they will be are Group A and Group D. So that's Group A that has Top Esports and LGD still looking for a position in the playoffs. Anyone's Legend already has their first seed locked. And then Group D is the group of death with NIP, IG, RNG, and FPX all still in the running. Going into the final days of their group, there's two more series for that group itself. So that one should be fun. NIP starts it off tonight, actually, as of recording. So obviously, the day a little bit later. But it should be fun because playoffs are going to be really, really tight. And we actually finally get to see some of the top teams against some of the top teams instead of these lower rung games.
People can go back and watch the VOD by the time
there you go.
They hear this.
On LPL English.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. LPL underscore English, right? Is that also the name of the Twitch account?
The Twitch account is LPL underscore English, and the Twitter account is LPL English.
There we go.
Or opposite way. Opposite.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know the Twitter's the underscore, but on Twitch, it's just LPL English.
Okay. The other way around, yep.
Cool. Make sure that you go support it, everybody. Also, shout out the LOL Esports Twitter account. Riffed one of your clips.
Yeah, they did it.
Great call, by the way. I loved you. Thanks. You were the play-by-play for that one.
You're having a great time. That was a hell of a series.
That was a wild play. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, Baron. So down to one health.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. One day they'll fix that. All right. Well, thank you for the LPL update. Other fun news that happened. There was a social post that went out detailing some more of the NACL updates, the Tier 2 for North America. Mizell, full disclosure, I skimmed it very briefly.
It didn't seem
like there was a lot of changes, but can you highlight some of the information that's in there?
Well, we won't be starting until the final week of March, so hang in there, friends. It's going to be a while. But we will have three OQ teams joining us all the way there. The OQs will be starting up the second week of March.
Okay.
Should be a lot of fun, especially with a little bit of an announcement that we got going today in the scene. With Doublelift creating his Unk squad and getting all the old retired guys out and...
Yeah,
the names are going to go insane.
Oh my goodness.
Thankfully, we're in the creator era of League of Legends right now. But we do also have Pulse taking one of the spots in NACL, which should be a lot of fun. They've been garnering a lot of attention over these last 2 years or so, trying to make waves in the Tier 3 scene, moving up now to the Tier 2 scene. So I know some of the management people have some good heads on their shoulders, so hopefully we can see some good player development through Pulse. But these next couple months are going to be super important. We finally get T2 in North America, which, you know, maybe some of the teams would have really liked to potentially have some replacements going into their splits. So, you know, now they will.
Exactly. Just to recap that for folks that are maybe only watch LEC, LTA, NACL is, of course, a relegation league. So you can promote up and you can also lose your spot and promote down. That's a weird way to put that. You can move up or down in the league depending on how well you do, and the OQs is something that's happening. Open qualifiers, a fun little tournament. That's where Doublelift has gotten a team to sign up. Some other creator teams are coming in. That's going to be a really exciting thing to track because there's three spots opened up at the bottom of the NACL, if you want to think of it that way, because other teams and orgs have just left the NACL. Like, yeah, we're just going to give up our spot. One team was able to sell to this organization called Pulse, which has been garnering a lot of support from the community as a Tier 2 organization. Really fun stuff happening there. Thank you, Mizell, for that update. And if you want to update us on other things happening around the world in League of Legends, make sure to join the community Discord. You can find the link in the description wherever you are listening along. If we missed anything or you want to give your thoughts on stuff that we've already talked about, make sure to throw it in there. Also, shout out to everybody who supports us on Patreon as well as through our merch store, League-Rundown-shop.forthwall.com. Enrique, if you could choose to have a mug with our logo on it, a cap with our logo on it, or a mouse pad with our logo on it, which would you like?
Ooh. Assuming they're all the same price, I think a mug for me.
A mug? That's a solid choice.
I'm a big mug guy because I've got a lot of like dad hats. So that was a tough choice for me. But I think like, you know, if this podcast were to go to like video form, right? Shameless plug, shameless branding, right? And a lot of podcasts are in video form, right? So you just kind of drop that in there very, very not so subtly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're holding the line. We are podcast purists. Mm-hmm. Podcasting is for the audio medium, and especially funny when you make visual gags alongside it.
Yes.
We're known for doing that as well. But that's it for global news. Let's hop into LTA, because we had a couple of games that happened this past weekend, as well as games to look forward to this coming weekend. This last weekend, we were still in the Riot Games Arena in Los Angeles, California. Now, no longer in the Howling Abyss, which is what they call the closet that they have to play in when VCT is playing. It was live in the arena. It was a lot of fun. Fans did show up, and the teams also, for the most part, showed up. We had two matches. First up was Team Liquid versus Shopify, and then we had FlyQuest versus Dig. Team Liquid versus Shopify, Mazal, I'm going to have you start off with this one, then I'll take the next one. Enrique, just throw your thoughts in when they come up here. But Team Liquid Shopify, Mazal, what were your initial thoughts, and did it go how you expected?
Well,
that's a long sigh.
Damn.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the games were a little bit closer in some regard than the scoreline says, but overall, I think I was more proud that TL looked more like themselves. I still think Umpty got away with murder in some of those plays,
yeah.
And like, I do not know what's going on. I know he went on Twitter and he was saying, you know, like, don't let one game, one series define you, whatever. But my God, my bro. So I think there's some things that are going really well for them. I think bot lane still looks damn good, and I'm really happy that's happening for TL. Mm-hmm. Not as clean as I wanted it to be. Not as much of a spark from Shopify that I maybe wanted. And I think the nature of contracts in Palafox came to a head yet again. I know we literally had that same conversation like last week or whatever. But it happened again where you're getting like the 50-50 value of these guys a lot of the time, and it just feels really bad.
Yeah, exactly. I think that also Fudge, like, there was just a couple plays where, like, I'm really scratching my head thinking, how does a pro team mess this up? Like, you get a pick bot lane, and there's a teleport being channeled to the turret. It's a Talia, and you're, like, 100 health. You'd walk up to the wave to try and shove it in. It's like, okay, I guess nobody saw the TP. Like, we're just not doing that. Or like, then he has a chance to go all in and kill the Talia later, but then he backs off because they don't see the jungler. But like, the jungler just passed over a ward. It's like, okay, so clearly he's not paying attention. The team's not communicating where junglers are. It's just like, oh man, Fudge is not on the same page as everyone else. It was really tough to see. 4x4, were you able to catch that series, and do you have any thoughts on it?
No, I just caught the Skarner ult of Destiny from Umpty.
Yep. That was good.
The greatest play of all time.
That was good.
That was special.
I love it because APA is like so hard trying to save his team from his own teammate. Like, doesn't matter because Pop Blossom still activates while you're midair.
Yeah, oh, that was in the tiebreaker with FlyQuest, not the Shopify game. But yes, that was a very funny moment. One of the sillier things to happen in the day. But yeah, I agree with you, Mazel. Overall, Shopify, just we didn't see that spark that we know they... Like,
there is some there.
There's
somewhere.
A chance that they could grab it, and they just haven't yet. Shopify was my dark horse of, like, if they pop off, they're going to be a scary team, but they just never popped off.
Yeah.
That's the sad truth. Team Liquid took it. 2-0, and the next series was also 2-0, but this one I think was a pretty close 2-0. Dignitas put up a surprising fight against FlyQuest, man. FlyQuest was like really ahead game one, but Dignitas pushed them to the limit by just like not letting them end the game and being like, no, we actually can win fights. Surti had an insane Otacon fight, and then it kind of got Dignitas back into it, at least like closely evening up the game, and then they were able to just delay the end. FlyQuest were still the better team in the later game team fights, but then game two as well. That one, we had a blind pick Garen for Bwipo. Surti locks in Camille and then still loses the lane, man.
Yeah, it looked real bad too. I still think he had some good moments in the series itself, but man, some of those plays and like the solo kills. So,
Yeah, like it's one of the classics. I don't know if you caught this. This clip did kind of pop off, Enrique. But the Boy Post level 5 on Garen,
and he is that the one where he dinged like right when he was about to die, basically.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's using Conqueror to like. Or not conquer, judgment to clear the wave, the spin to win ability, and then hits level 6. Yeah. And just takes
that, that was hot.
Oh,
that was hot.
Yeah, that was a fun moment. So I think that like I still have hopes for Surtee, but I think for an overall sample size of what the community got to see of him, I think we saw. I don't know if you agree with this, Mazel. I actually think we saw a fairly accurate representation of what I expected, which is there's moments of greatness and he can pop off, but he will also make little mistakes like that and it can be punished. And if he falls behind, he can still make plays even without resources. Like the Cassante game, even that Camille game, like he's behind, but he's still doing stuff in the game. Like it's not like he's
I think a lot
invisible.
Of that comes with experience, right? I think that's just gonna happen. In these kinds of situations.
But I'm happy that he never just got completely shut out and just was a non-factor in games. Even the games that he like started terribly, it's like, okay, he still did stuff later in the game and like didn't just completely lose heart and keel over. So and then Kaney as well is really impressed with as the mid laner for Dignitas. I think Tomo, Kaney were kind of more the standout performers on that roster. Would love to see more of them, man. But unfortunately, we will not because, you know, two series lost. You're out. Now we're going to Brazil. FlyQuest, on the other hand, dude, Masu, holy
Hell
shit.
Hell yeah.
Masu is maybe the like most clutch player that we have. Inspired as well. Inspired and Masu together just like carried that series in a way. They didn't have to carry very hard, but like I think that they were the ones that did the most damage. There's like a full 5-minute stretch where Masu just doesn't flash. And there's so many moments where I'm like, oh my god, any other AD carry in the league would have flashed there instantly. Because, like, you don't have to, but by holding it, there's a chance that you get punished. And Masu's just got nerves of steel, man. Like, he just refuses to burn stuff unless he has to. And it's really, really impressive. And then Inspired on the Vi, dude. Like, Mizzou, do you remember that moment around the Otacon where he just stalls, like, a full 60 seconds for the rest of the team to spawn, doesn't die, they're able to, like, win the fight, and then later he, like, engages by the Elder Dragon fight and, like, ults through, I think it's through APA, and then hits Yon, so he, like, hits both the carries with one ult. It's like, oh, my God!
He was popping off. And I think you still love to see that he can have those bright moments. Like, I don't know if maybe this hasn't been, like, the brightest start of the season for him, but I think he's got such a fucking clutch factor. It's so crazy.
FlyQuest are firing on all cylinders, and it continued because, of course, they won this series 2-0. Close one. I think that there were moments Dignitas actually had me thinking that they could take it, at least a game, but FlyQuest got it. But that meant that we had a tiebreaker game between Team Liquid and FlyQuest. We call it tiebreakers. We call it seeding matches, whatever you want to call it. It was a best of one to see who's third seed, who's fourth seed going to Brazil, and FlyQuest takes that one as well. And what a back-and-forth banger that one was. That's the one where Enrique is talking about it. We have Umtia Skarner. Like, I think he's going for,
I don't know.
I don't even remember.
Like,
I think it's
the
arrow
mist. He's going on somebody, and then like, yeah, he had to like flash forward. He got, what was it? He got the Nico, right?
Yeah. He pulls in a Nico pop blossoming into his own team, and APA has to ult away the Nico, but then it still knocks up everybody. That was crazy. We had APA just swinging a miss multiple times trying to find these like shuffle plays where he's shifting Sanzing in into the Emperor's Divide. It just like one of them just goes the wrong direction, hits nobody. Another one like just misses because he's not close enough. Finally gets one, and I think he dies for it. So it's like a 1-for-1. And like watching the tape, it's just like, man, you got 3 frontline APA. Like, why are you primary engage right now? But it was fun. That was maybe my favorite game. I also got to cast that one. Probably my favorite game I've gotten to cast in a long time just because of how crazy back and forth it was. And all these like mistakes we're talking about from Team Liquid, it was still fairly close in gold the entire game. So, Yeah, Mizzou, what are your thoughts after that in terms of like the best team in the region? Because I've heard some people saying that FlyQuest, even though their third seed, is our best team going. What are your thoughts on that kind of whole debate?
I think that C9 is a little slept on.
Mm.
Even though, as we're going to talk about
say,
it later.
Interesting.
Well, foreshadowing, potentially. I still think from what I watched when I was going through Raz's VOD review and stuff, like the level is just higher for the base of all seeds coming from the North. And I would like to see that emphasized in terms of like when we're listening to Spawn talk so heavily about we're an early game team, we're a fast team, we want to play fast. I want to see them play fast. I want to see them take things that are going to benefit them and kind of snowball the game. I want to see FlyQuest be able to manipulate the map like we've seen them do time and time again. So I think the ranking is fine, but I don't know. Once we get there, it's going to be all different. So
yeah. Time zone's going to change. They've just traveled in. They're the visiting away teams against what I imagine could be a hostile crowd that will be cheering greatly for their teams from the southern region. And so that brings us into our, you know, second part here of the episode, which is we got teams and players and games happening this coming weekend. Enrique, that's why we brought you on. Happy to have you here to be our LTA South resident expert for this episode. I want to start off, before we get even into the matchups, into predictions, into talking about what's ahead of us, talk to me about your kind of confidence in the South teams and general level of play that people can expect from these teams that are being represented.
I think any sort of expectations for level of play with these, I'll speak for the Brazilian teams more because I have more of a sample size with these teams. I think that is a fool's errand, just like because the level of play, what I legitimately thought, and this is a little bit of just, you know, we've been doing this unofficial broadcast, so I've seen pretty much every single game of this region since 2021. Going into like the end of last year, I legitimately thought the level of play was getting a lot better. I thought the macro was getting better. I thought some of the coaching was starting to really stick. And then this split, it seems to have all gone out the window, especially for some of our top teams. And it's unfortunate because when the top teams can get away with just relying on things like pre-built synergy, just having more experience, just being able to out team fight you and just not and kind of and cut corners and skip steps along the way, right? When that yields more results, that is not good for the region because the rest of the region just kind of has to sit there and take it. This ties in a little bit with some off the rift drama. By the way, if you are an RMC enjoyer, one, you should be. Two, this is going to be nothing like that. There was some off the rift drama. Jose Deodo, when he's the jungler for Isurus Astral, obviously, he was asked, you know, by an interviewer, like, look, what do the Brazilian teams have to do to kind of like, you know, kind of get to you guys' level right now? Because you guys kind of waxed us. And he said, I think the Brazilian teams are fine mechanically. I just don't think they try that hard in scrims. And you're like, dude, we just got our you-know-whats beat by the hermanos, right? The manitos, south of our borders. And now they're saying we don't even try? And like, going into this LTA, this America's phase, my confidence is low. But if there's one glimpse of something that I'm holding on to, is that for Pain and Loud, and especially Pain, honestly, because they are the defending champions and they are a better team than Loud. I do believe that. You just got your butts kicked on international television, right? The pride of your region is dangling by a thread right now. Wake up! Your fans are going to be there and sell out this arena every single day, no matter what. You owe it to them to not get turned over by 100 Thieves, to not get turned over by Cloud9, but especially Pain Gaming. I think there's so much pressure on them. And I think right now, if you're Isurus and Leviathan, you're kind of playing with house money. Because no one, and I mean no one, was expecting to be our 1 and 2 seeds.
Yeah, I had heard that from RMC, who's also one of the members of this broadcast and covers the LTA South region, that if I remember this correctly, Isurus Astral is the guest team, correct?
Yeah,
they're like the provisional team.
Exactly, which is hilarious because so they'll have to be competing for their spot with Tier 2, but I think that also informs some of their roster building, if I may, real quick, because they went with known commodities, right? They went with Jose Deodo, Snaker, and Ackerman. If you have watched any international League of Legends and the play-in stage, you know those three names. Hell, if you've watched North American League of Legends, you remember Jose Deodo, right? Played on FlyQuest back in 2021. Whereas Leviathan, they knew that, well, our spot is secured, so we're going to go with a more rookie-heavy approach. Not rookie-heavy, I shouldn't say that, but a roster with less experience and with a roster where you're going to be speaking different languages as well.
And notably, no imports on this roster. Every player is either Brazilian or LLA, which I guess technically, like,
yeah.
I think you get the one Brazilian, and then the second Brazilian would count as... Oh, wait, no. It's the same as NA. Yeah, using an import slot here. Yeah.
Yeah. The joke on Twitter was if you go in reverse order of the seeds, if you go 4-3-2-1 for the LATAM South teams, the number of Brazilians on each team goes lower and lower and lower.
That's pretty funny, man.
Yeah.
That's actually so funny.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, and even Paid Gaming, one of their Koreans, Wiser, he's like Core JJ now. He is now his residency is Brazil because he's been here so long.
Hey, so. I like it. So Payne then has four technically if Wiser's
yep.
counts. And then Loud, are there three? I only see two for Loud.
Loud have two, but because like you said, you get two import slots, right? So that's Wiz and Root. But mm-hmm. Winsome, born in North America, even though he is Korean, right? That's how Cloud9, you know, snuck that one
true,
in there.
True,
so
true.
He is an America's player, right? And then you've got your other two.
Makes sense. And then Isaris Astral, three Argentinians, I believe?
Yep, three Argentinians and two Koreans. Birdall, yes, that Birdall, and Miru.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Just so crazy, by the way.
I know, man. The names that pop up in LLA, ugh. It's like League of Legends Mad Libs. It's the greatest.
Yeah. Did Birdall play in LPL?
He did for a bit, right? He had some time in LCK and some time in LPL.
Yeah. He did, that's indeed. Crazy. Well, we'll get your thoughts on him as a player then maybe from anything you remember from his time, Mizell. But for now, let's go through the matchups as they're going to happen. Because then I think all this conversation will naturally flow then as to our opinions of the teams and expectations for them. The schedule will look like 100 Thieves versus Payne. Payne Gaming is the fourth seed. 100 Thieves is the first seed from their respective regions, and that's, of course, going to continue throughout. Fourth place first, second place third, then third place second, fourth place first. And then we have FlyQuest versus Leviathan. Now, 100 Thieves, you know the roster already. I'll run through it real quick here. Sniper, River, Quid, FBI, Ayla. Same roster as last year. FBI is the only change coming into this year. So I guess not the same. Almost the same from last year. FBI is the only change.
He's just like, you said all the same roster.
Yeah, you know, I just immediately contradicted myself. Well, because I was getting excited because I was about to say Payne Gaming, the same roster from last year. And technically, I believe this is a correct statement. This is the longest concurrent roster globally. In tier one play.
Yes, I did see that stat. Yeah, it was Payne and what, TL were tied, right?
No, I don't even think TL's tied. I think Payne's in sole possession. TL might be like right behind them. It might be close, but either way, Payne, they've had this roster for a long time. This is the same roster that was at Worlds, which notably, they made it out of the play-in stage mm-hmm. at Worlds and actually made it to the Swiss stage. So
let's go.
And the bottom lane, 2v2 killed Guma and Karia. And we will take that.
Yeah, they did. And let's go through the roster. Wiser top lane. Karioka in the jungle. Actually, you know what, Enrique? How about you go through the roster? Because then you can see the names correctly.
It is. Instantly. Yes, Wiser. And then we say Karioka, but it is pronounced Karioka. But it's literally just because like you say the letter K. And the letter K in Portuguese is Ka. So, So Karioka, Karioka, Dinquedo, Titan, and Kuri. Again, if you want to put the Brazilian pronunciations on it, Wiser, Carioca, Jinquedo, Titan, Curi. But Titan is also a word in English as well. But yeah, like you said, long running roster. Titan was that missing piece. Payne Gaming before last split. And again, if RMC has told you all this Brazilian lore, I apologize for repeating it. But
no, please, because this is new for the audience at least.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect. Then Payne Gaming. Before they won it in 2024 split two, they got to five straight finals and lost all of them.
Two.
And the last four, they lost to Loud. It was Payne versus Loud in four straight finals, right? Every time Loud went to a national event, it was because they beat Payne Gaming. Every time the series got closer, 3-0, 3-0, 3-1, 3-2. And then finally, they got over the hump. Payne Gaming got over the hump. And it was because of that man in the bottom lane right there, Titan. They had actually Bvoy, who is now on Shopify. He was their AD carry for a while there. And because he played in Brazil, then he went up to the LEC, and then he kind of bounced around, and then he's back in Brazil. But B-Voy, he's a very kind of stable, you know, AD carry, right? Doesn't really make too many mistakes, or at least that's how he was. I can speak more to how he was in Brazil. Very stable, didn't really make any mistakes, but they didn't have a dude who had a killer instinct. And Titan is that guy. Titan is an immensely confidence-based player. He talks a lot of smack online, in person. He's getting up out of his seat. He's hurling obscenities at other players, telling them to retire, telling them they're bad. And he's the guy who, you know, for lack of a better term, he knows when to go forward on Ezreal, right? And one-tap you with a combo. And that was the final straw that Pain Gaming needed. And they finally slayed the boogeyman that was Loud, which was, you know, kind of turning us into a one-team region, which is not where you want to be.
Yeah, and notably at Worlds, making it to the knockout stage, but the way they did it too, they pushed PSG to three games. Mm-hmm. PSG also qualified out. And then they beat R7, who notably beat 100 Thieves. Yep. And now they're against 100 Thieves. So if
we might complete the circle R7. Of suck here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pain beats R7, R7 beats 100 Thieves, and only one roster change has happened between both these teams. Does that mean Pain wins this? What do we think?
Oh, God. If you would have asked me before this split, yes. Now, I don't think so. I was on a different podcast talking about this. I put the odds at 30-70.
Oh, that's not very good odds. No. But still, it's okay, I guess.
Yeah. Serviceable.
It's serviceable. But I think that also reflects our predictions here. Let's go through them. I have 100 Thieves 2-1. 4Y4, you have 100 Thieves 2-1. And Mazel, you have 100 Thieves 2-0. Ooh. 30%, or 30 out of, or 30 to 70, whatever you said, is basically the 2-1, right? I think we both agree that they're good for one game. Mazel has the 2-1 confidence. 4Y4, how do you think Pain picks up their win against 100 Thieves?
They give Titan either Caitlyn or Ezreal. So I think it will be in game two. I think they'll slam, you know, like, you know, something like, you know, a Skarner or a Maokai or something will go off the board B1. Pain will grab Caitlyn and whatever support they want to give to Kuri. The Elise support, I think, could work. It also scares the daylights out of me whenever he plays that champion, because it's just been really hit and miss with the Elise support, as it kind of has been all over the world. But anyway.
Yeah.
But it's going to go through Titan, and that's how they've won all their games. There was a game where in the series that Pain lost to, I want to say it was Leviathan, when they went out. Yeah, Titan got smashed in lane on Caitlyn, which if that happens, it's over, right? GG, go next, surrender at 15. He ended up getting a quadra kill in a game that they lost. So he is someone who, if Pain Gaming can get a lead through the bottom lane, they generally don't lose those games because the rest of the team is built around that. Dinketo, he had an awful split one, but he is someone who you stick on a control mage. You could throw him on kind of a Yone if they decide to go AP jungle, but you know, the rest of the team is literally just built to, you know, give Titan the ball, let him dribble around somebody and smash into the top corner.
Yeah, and there's a phrase that I've been told is said in Portuguese about him. There's not an exact English translation, but it's close, like Titan magic. What's the Portuguese phrase though?
So, I mean, I don't know actually what you're referring to. I mean, they call him Chitanzada. That's kind of one of his nicknames. But there's another...
I think that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, there's another sort of phrase that he goes with that he says on his streams a lot, that it's... Isso que acontece quando se dá moleque. And he says it really quickly to the point where it's gotten shortened to Shiske Deli. And that's
it. Yep. Okay. It starts with a Z, right?
It starts with an X, but yes.
Or
same.
X, sorry. X,
yeah,
no, X, it's, yes,
it's,
yes.
It looks like a Wi-Fi password. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the Shiske Deli. It's basically like, you know, talk shit, get hit. Sorry if I'm not allowed to swear.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, that's way cooler than Titan Magic, but I do like Titan Magic. I was told that, like, there isn't an exact translation, but, like, that would be kind of close in English. Is basically just, that's what you say when Titan pulls it out of his ass and just wins the game for you.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. I do like that. Mm-hmm. It's fun to have little, you know, things named after you. So that's how I also have the one win happening there. Also, I think that if that happens, it's also going to be combined with 100 Thieves having a unique take on a draft. 100 Thieves have tried a lot of different things with their champs.
So diplomatic, Angus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'm trying to not flame too much. But 100 Thieves, they try a lot of different champions. They are, I believe, tied with the most unique picks with Team Liquid of all teams. But only Ayla has duplicated a single champ. Everybody else has played six unique champions across their six games, which I think is awesome in Fearless, but it does make it a little harder to like define an exact style. So maybe they'd like just stumble over a draft and then Titan's able to pop off and then that's that. So that's how I have it. Mazelle, you're confident in the 2-0. Why do you think 100 Thieves is going to be so dominant in this first series?
Dude, I don't know, man. They just got the gumption. They got the aura. They got whatever you want. I just feel like they're riding such a high of momentum, and especially because they're really carefree. I mean, we all know that 100 Thieves is kind of out of it after this, right? So, like, I think a lot of the players are playing very carefree, and I just something in me feels like we need to go full circle. When 100 Thieves came into the league, they were such a hot comet, and like literally the reason why we have a lot of premier Valhalla content for a lot of teams, a lot of the reason why we got a lot of personalization from a lot of the teams as well was because of that original 100 Thieves roster. And it just would be so fitting for it to go full circle and then to be the premier team from NA one last time.
Like, that would be awesome. So cool. If they could truly live up to first seed, because they're first seed, man. Like, they beat everybody to get here. It's crazy. So, yeah, I do like that as well. I think Payne's good for one, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a 2-0 as well. Let's talk about the next one, though, because FlyQuest versus Leviathan is happening next. 4x4, let's just do the same flow here. Talk about Leviathan and their roster. Let's kind of run through it and then talk about the highlight players to keep our eyes on.
Yeah, Leviathan, it is from the top lane down, Zothvi, Scary, Cody, CEO, and ProDelta. ProDelta is the CEO, or excuse me, whoa. Jungle support, Scary and ProDelta, they are the two Brazilians on this team. ProDelta is a reigning MVP. Actually, I don't know about reigning, but he's a former MVP. I don't know if it was last split or was split before. But he's a very good young support player. He was actually, funnily enough, if you want to tie it, if you want, again, some more CBLOL lore, Pain Gaming, when they brought Titan over, right, as kind of their last missing piece, ProDelta was actually the support on Pain Gaming. And Titan, he was on Red Canids at the time. And he said, all right, I'll go over to Pain Gaming. I'll save you, but I'm not playing with ProDelta. I want a Korean support. And Payne said, all right, bye, ProDelta. Whee! And they chucked him off to the wayside. And, you know, Payne won. So history is written by the victors and whatnot. But ProDelta did win an MVP. He got to the finals with Vivocade Stars. So, you know, it all worked out okay for him. And now he's a 2 seed and Payne is, not. Zothvi in the top lane. I called him Wi-Fi password as well because I had no idea who this dude was, but he has turned out to be just a very kind of serviceable, you know, stable top laner. But the guys you want to watch out for really are Cody and CEO, and Cody especially, because he took a hot, steamy dump on our mid laners' heads. He was he just embarrassed us. And CEO in the bottom lane, he's a good, solid mid AD carry, but I think really it's the mid jungle for Leviathan. Scary, he's very stable. I worry a little bit if they get to a best of five. You know, walk before you can run, yes, but if they get to a best of five, I worry that his champion pool might be tested in ways that would be suboptimal, because he is kind of like your umpty in his best form, which is don't get too cute, don't play Viego, play Maokai, Sejuani, Vi, Wukong, you know, Zinja, like just the tank and spank sort of junglers, very kind of, you know, easy to play junglers. But Scary,
I haven't heard that.
He would get called up from Academy whenever a CBLOL roster was on fire, and they call him the fireman, Ubomberu. And he would come up and he would just be like, all right, everybody calm the F down. Let's just go back to basics. I'm going to play Maokai and then I'm going to play Sejuani and we're going to win some games. And that's exactly what would happen. But now he's like a legitimately good player. I still think he's like, he's become a better version of himself. CEO in the bottom lane, I think he, if nothing else, has bought into the vibes of the LTA South. He went on a podcast after they beat Pain Gaming. He went on a podcast and basically called Titan trash. He's like, he's not very good. Like, I don't like, you know, like, look, LATAM players, we aren't very good, but these Brazilian players aren't very good either. Like, this guy's overrated. And he was, he got up out of his chair. He was talking a lot of noise. They call him La Vibora. La Vibora, which means the Viper, because he is like the LATAM Viper, like the AD carry who plays on Hanmo now.
Nice.
And I hear that Cody's called the Latino Faker. Is that correct?
I think I have heard that as well. I don't know that 100%, but that sounds familiar. That sounds right.
I've heard that reference. Latino Faker, Latino Viper.
The boys. So please don't embarrass yourself against FlyQuest, Faker and Viper.
Right? But I've also heard Cody has some really crazy stats. Like, globally, for Tier 1 players, he's, like, number one in a bunch of crazy stats just because of how much he has taken. As you said, I think a steaming hot shit on all the other mid laners in the region. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this matchup because, of course, FlyQuest, if you're living under a rock, the roster of Bwipo-inspired Quad Masubucio, same as last year. Quad has been one of, if not the best mid laners in North America. This split, and I think that he's such a rock that even if Cody is styling and Quad gets any level behind, I think Quad can still, like, kind of bounce back even if he's not ahead in a game. And I think that's going to be a very fun matchup regardless of how it goes, though, because, like, there's so much excitement around Cody as his hype mid laner.
I think... I think it's more for the NA teams, at least, it's a mentality thing. I think their mechanics are fine, but I think it's not getting lost in the sauce and stuff like that. Whereas, like, it'd be really cool if we got to see some of the LTA South just, like, overperform their mechanics and actually push the edges of a lot of the North teams.
That would be, and I think that's how upsets could happen, is that, you know, NA teams start to play to they buy into the fight mentality of the South teams, and then it's just a bloodbath. And in those types of situations, you know, that's where the South teams could thrive and actually you know, pick up wins. So we'll see if that actually happens. I still have a 2-0 for FlyQuest, as well as 4-4. Mazelle, you actually have a 2-1 for FlyQuest.
Yeah,
let's hear that then. Why do you think FlyQuest drops again? Why do you think Leviathan picks one up?
You said it earlier in the bullshittery. It's because Bwipo will become overzealous.
Yeah.
And that's they will fair. Lose a game.
Bwipo does sometimes have Bwipo moments, doesn't he?
But yeah. I think the thing is, it's not whenever he has Bwipo moments, like, just because one player, especially a top laner, is having, like, some bad decision making. Like, we've seen top laners have to completely turn games around, even if they've been making bad decisions all game, right? It's like a breakdown of the whole team whenever he breaks down, right? So, like, I think that's what I really want to watch out for.
Yeah, I think that that's a good call out, that the team looks worse when Bwipo is having rough games, and that could be the catalyst. Yes, we were talking about mid lane, but, like, if Bwipo's falling behind, and I was saying Quad can still hold it down, but if both are falling behind, then it's going to be way harder. So, yeah, let's see if Leviathan's able to prove us wrong, though. That's day one of the Americas portion. That will start on 11 a.m. Pacific time, reminder. Between 100 Thieves and Pain, and then Leviathan FlyQuest, whenever that first series ends, but kind of expected to be around 3 p.m. if it can go to three games for the first series. Day two, same time on Sunday, the 16th. It's C9 versus Loud, and then Isaris Estral, who we are just going to be calling Istral from now on, versus Team Liquid. There's too many syllables, man, in Istris Estral. What are they doing? C9 versus Loud to start things off, though. C9's roster, Thanatos, Blabber, Loki, Sven, and Vulcan, and 4x4. What is Loud's roster?
It is a name that might be familiar to you NA Tier 1 and Tier 2 enjoyers. It is Robo Wiz, not Croc, Tidones, yes, that one from 2014, Kaboom Alliance, you know, this is for Kaboom, that the same guy. He was 17 then, he's 27 now, he is still very good at League of Legends. Root and Winsome, yes, that Winsome from Cloud9 / FlyQuest. So, Winsome, he is kind of the X factor, but not in a good way for Loud right now. He has taken some time to get bedded in to this team, but he's shown moments of, like, okay, that's the Winsome we remember from, like, his high points in NA. Like, he's had some really good snap rel engages. His game sense seems to be good, but it doesn't seem to be joined up with the rest of the gang. He'll get caught out, kind of, looking for wards. You know, what are you doing in that Tribrush, Winsome, is something I found myself saying a lot this past weekend. Wiz. So, okay, if you remember, in, I think it was 2023 MSI, Loud's jungler at the time, Croc, when we played against G2, he forgot to buy a jungle item, and that kind of went viral.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. He's gone. He's doing his Korean military service. Wiz taking his place. He is a former CBLOL champion as well. Won the COVID Cup, as we call it, the 2020 Split 1 championship. And he is, again, very, very stable, sort of like Scary. Just like, again, don't put this dude on Viego. Don't put him on Zyra. Zyra, he's actually okay on. But, like, don't put him on Viego. Just put him on Maokai Sejuani, and everything will be okay. Tinones, he struggled a lot last year in an AD mid-meta, but now he's back on his control mages. His Aurora is very good. And he's, you know, he's got a deep champion pool. Just make sure it doesn't revolve around right-clicking the other champions, because then it seems to,
noted.
Seems to go sideways for him. But one guy who is very good at right-clicking champions is Roots. And I genuinely believe this, and you guys heard my pessimism around the rest of, you know, what the heck's going on in LTA South. So believe me when I say this. Root, if he hits the heights he can, he is a top four AD carry of these eight teams.
Ooh,
he is,
okay.
He is that good mechanically. He is unbelievable. He is someone who can absolutely win you games by himself. And kind of with Loud, they have the biggest variance in terms of what I'm expecting from them. They could come out and just lay an absolute egg. Robo, I could see him just getting his salad tossed by Thanatos, honestly. I think Tinones will be stable. I think the bot lane, again, Root will be steady. Winsome could be hit or miss. Wiz is going to be very, very steady, but I don't know if he's going to, you know, he's not an amazing jungler. He's good. He's very good. 6-7 out of 10 every game. But this series is going to be an absolute rock fight. I have, if you told me any of the results, 2-0, 2-1, 1-2, 0-2, I'd be like, oh, yeah, okay, sure. None of it surprised me.
Ooh, I love that, because I'll give you a little heads up. All of our predictions are slightly different from each other, if not very different from each other. Mizzle, let's get your thoughts, though.
I'm actually really interested in terms of, like, the level of macro that we're going to see.
Yeah.
Because, again, that's, like, always my biggest gripe, I feel like. But I don't know, man. I think the way that there's always something to be playing towards might actually benefit LTA South because of the way that the spawns of objectives and things like that now. So I'm really curious. I think it's going to be a little bit of a toss-up.
I think a little bit as well. And for anybody who's not aware, Root played for a very long time in LCK. Jhinnir, Greenwing, Sandbox Gaming, Live Sandbox then. But he's been on Loud for like 2 years now?
Yeah.
A little over 2 years?
Yeah,
I've heard
Brunsy, the bot gap kid at Worlds 2022. Yeah. Basically, off that, Loud were like, hey, we're ready to offer you a new contract. And he was like,
wow.
Someone else is going to give me a bigger bag, though. And to be fair, he was right. So he went up, he got a bigger bag and,
you love that.
And went elsewhere. But then they got Root, so it all worked out.
Based. Yeah, Root, I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard the same thing or if this is just people kind of blowing smoke. Mm. I've heard that general perception is that he is the highest impact import that Brazil's ever had. That, like, his success rate in terms of what he's been able to accomplish and, like, do in the region, he's accomplished much more than what other imports have been able to do. Is that true? Does that hold weight?
I think factually, if it's not, like, actually true, you could point someone else and say, actually, no, well, he had, you know, more titles in fewer splits or whatever, but, like, Root has, I think he's won CB LoL every single split he's been, except for the most recent one where Pain won.
Yeah, you were talking about the Loud Pain rivalry. He was on Loud for all of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like Brunsy was there, right? The rookie AD carry, and then, you know, he went and got his bag elsewhere. No championships. Didn't finish higher than third any other season. But hey, go get your bag, King. But Root, yeah, no, he was on that Jhinnir Green Wings roster in 18 or 19. That went 1-17. That had like 15 players on it. He was a part of that, which is hilarious. and yeah, no, but I do agree with you, Kangas. I mean, and also just like in terms of like he. I can remember one bad game by him, legitimately. Every single time Loud lose, it is not his fault. Mm. Like, never. He's so consistent. He's so consistent. That's and like we have talked about on and off air in kinder and not as kind terms, consistency is not what LTA South is exactly making a name for themselves
true.
For. And Root is the exception to that rule. Like, if you go to my man's, like, Leaguepedia page, he looks like a baby-faced assassin. And that is essentially how he carries himself 24-7. No emotion. I'm coming here to do a job. You know, give me the bag. Give me the gun. Pow, pow. All right, let's go home.
That's what you want from your
kind of base, though.
Yeah. No, it's sick. And they all love him. Yeah, there's a the second biggest religion in Brazil, it's behind Catholicism, is Rootismo. Rootism.
Oh, really?
Nice.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, you know what? I'm not going to fact check you on that one. I'm just going to choose to believe. I love
vibes.
It.
It's more fun that way.
All right, yeah. Well, let's talk about predictions then. I still, you know, we've been hyping up Root. We've been hyping up Loud. I'm excited. I still got C9 2-0.
Oh no.
Yeah. I've got the C9 2-1. I think Loud will take a game just off chaos factor, but I think C9 are too strong.
But who is it coming in with a steel chair? Yeah. Mazzel with the Loud win 2-1. I love it, first of all. But let's hear some of your thought process on it.
I don't have a lot of faith in solo lanes to be consistent, even though we have seen some good performances from Thanatos especially. There's something off with the vibes with this team, man. I don't know what it is. Every time I see them in like an interview and stuff like that, sometimes they're vibing really well, but there's just something, and it feels like a team that if one thing breaks the wrong way, it could go really badly. So I don't know. I think it's just going to be a breakdown of the day. I think C9 will come back in the series and like have some good showings, but I think they lose.
Okay, 2-1. So they're good for a game. I think that the reason I'm confident in C9 is part of it, I think, is that I'm trying to overcorrect for having them so low and such low expectations for them at the beginning of the split, and they've really overperformed my expectations. So now I'm like, oh, wait, maybe they're really good. But part of it is just hearing Blabber talk about like the difference in the mid lane and also Vulcan being on the same page with the rest of the team. It feels like this is a team that actually commits to plays together. Oftentimes they're boring, and I'm like, ugh, like, I don't like this play. It's the boring play of, oh, let's just trade an objective, or like let's just reset instead of fighting. But at least they're committing to things together, whereas the last version of C9, it was like, what the hell's happening? Like, everyone's on a different page.
It was very scattershot.
So I think because of the volatility of the LLA, or sorry, not LLA teams, the LTA South teams, and everything that I've heard about them, and just kind of like the lack of macro, focus, and more so about just brute fighting. C9's a team that's willing to not fight. They'll just walk away from you and then play macro better. So I actually think that for that reason, C9 2-0s.
If I could, real again, quick, Mazzel, I do think your point about the solo lanes, I think you might have just like, you know, put the puzzle pieces together, because I think
it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah,
it's
like Root really is Mr. Consistency, but like Tinones and Robo between them have 13 CBLOL titles and a combined like 17 years of playing experience, right? So if you're worried about like inconsistency for C9, you know, and like a bit of just freshness, right? This will be the most hostile stage they've played in front of, right? I don't know how rowdy the LCK Challenger Studio gets, to be fair. So I won't speak for that, but I think that could be something there.
It absolutely could. We haven't really talked about as much the crowd and how that's going to affect people. If anything, that might affect like 100 Thieves, like Sniper being such a young player. Like maybe if the crowd's booing him and stuff, you never know. But okay, that's game one of day two. Now let's talk about game two of day two, because right after this, we have Isurus Estral, or Estral. As I'm going to call them. I said I was going to call them that, and then I just didn't. Again, I'm just lying to you multiple times this podcast.
Yeah, episode. You are.
Estral versus Team Liquid. Team Liquid, the roster rundown. We have Impact, Umpty, APA, Yan, and Core JJ. 4x4, talk to us about Estral's roster lineup.
So, Isurus Estral, we have... Oh, gosh, wrong one. There we go. All right. It is, in fact, Birtle. Yes, that Birtle. Jose Deodo. Yes, that one. Miru. He was at Worlds 2023 and MSI 2023 with Rainbow 7. Did a tour in the LFL as well. Did he play NA Tier 2, or am I making that up?
No, he never played Tier 2.
Okay, I'm making up with someone else. With Mir. That's who it was. Mir slash...
Yes, Arth, the jungler.
Yes,
Mir,
exactly. Bingo. Yeah, he was on Furia last year, if you wondered what Mir was up to recently.
I did hear about that, yeah. But Miru is the mid laner. Yes. What about the rest of the roster?
And then Snaker and Ackerman, which, again, they are LLA stalwarts, right? Very, very experienced roster. And, again, these guys are the guest teams. So they're going to have to fight for relegation. And you kind of saw the thinking here with the roster build was, let's just get a ton of experience here. And the mid jungle, I mean, the mid lane was my biggest question. I thought Miru was going to be a flop. I didn't think he was going to adapt well to, you know, life in a new country, playing for a team that doesn't even, you know, have a home base there, etc. But split one, he has come out firing. I look at the Jace in this one, you know, a little spoiler to my predictions, but like the blue side here, right? The fact that they're going to start on, you know, they start with side selection. I'm assuming they're going to pick blue side. Hold on for you guys. Is the patch going to be the same as it was last week?
The patch is 0.3. Yeah, yeah. So it should be the same.
Okay, cool. So the Jace changes will not have come through just yet. I actually don't know if he's going to nerf their buff, but besides the point, they can flex that kind of in a number of different spots and play him a number of different styles. Bruiser, tank, lethality, top, mid. So I think that could be a real weapon for them in draft. And again, with Azura's Estral, okay. Just my takeaways from split one, they just play like mistake-free League of Legends. Like, again, like for the level, because the LTA South level isn't what, you know, LTA North is, but they said they just didn't give any teams like a chance to get at them, right? If you, you know, even the tiebreaker, the seeding match, Leviathan just kind of ooga booga'd all over them, and the score was 7-2 Ooh. In 15 minutes. And then you look up, but it was one of those games where you look up and you go, oh my God, they're slaughtering. Oh, the gold lead is 1,000. Right. And it's like, oh, they're not actually that far ahead because the Azura's Estral just didn't allow them to. Whatever advantage they got, they cross map with something. I think Jose Deodo and the immense champion pool that he has will be a boon to them. They can tailor make drafts around him. And Snaker and Ackerman are just very consistent bot lane that have played with each other for a long, long time.
That's really cool. I will say that Jace change was they basically dropped all of his base damage numbers and buffed his 80 scaling numbers to compensate. Mm. So arguably he does more damage in the late game once you get a couple items. I don't know exactly what the mathematical breakpoint is.
Sure. But I guess it's a takeaway so from the tank Jace, tank right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You have to invest in the 80.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I still think that they are a strong team, and that reflects in the predictions here. Let's start with the a little bit of history here. Raz on the LTA North broadcast every single week has been flapping his lips saying all four NA teams are going to wake it through round one. There's not going to be a single South team represented after the quarterfinals because it's a single Elim tournament. There's no second life here. I said there's no chance, and I have to back it up with my predictions now. If I'm picking one team to make it through, I'm going Estral 2-1. So I actually, I know Mazel, you had Loud as your one making it through. I think it's Estral 2-1 for myself. And 4x4, you actually agree. You think that they can make it through as well. Mazel, you have Team Liquid 2-0 more of a stomp, so we'll get your thoughts afterwards. 4x4, let's first glaze Estral a little bit more and talk about how they can do it. You start and then I'll back you up.
Yeah, I mean, look, I just think they showed us the most consistent performances. And if you want to just talk matchup wise, the mid jungle, I think, is a surprising point that I think can really be the straw that stirs the drink for this Azura's Estral roster with the jungle position especially. And if you want to match that up into probably the rockiest part, again, if we're talking on form of TL's roster, you know, so far in split one, it is that mid jungle. So the Miro, I believe in him as someone who could take advantages, you know, by himself. He's not like Cody level, I don't think, gonna just like, you know, dominate a game, but he's gonna do his job well. He's not gonna make any mistakes, or at least, you know, in split one he didn't. And then he's just gonna like, all right, you know, just like throw the tennis ball into the enemy jungle, and Jose Deodo is gonna run in and he's gonna, you know, drag him behind him on the leash.
Okay. That's one way to put it.
I like it.
The way that I see this series going, I think Team Liquid, pound for pound, could be considered the better team. They should be considered the better team, but the glaring weakness is that Oomptie's just not looked good, and APA after this last weekend also had a lot of oopsie moments and just rough decisions. If we're looking at Jose Deodo and Miru as a just better mid-jungle duo, I think that they can prey on Oomptie and APA, who have not been looking nearly as strong as they were last year's form. And even if bot lane is, you know, ahead for Team Liquid, even if Impact is this kind of stalwart rock in the top lane, I see the mid jungle being just too volatile for me to say that Team Liquid wins this cleanly. And I even if they win the series, I don't think it's going to be a 2-0. I struggle to say that it would definitively be that, unless they just lane swap every game, because we have seen, I don't know, Enrique, do you have opinions on how good Estral is in the lane swaps? Because that's the one thing that overall I was not impressed with the South teams whenever I saw tape on them in lane swap situations. I was like, ooh, these guys really struggle in this.
Oh, wait. Did you see the, I think there's one game specifically that you're talking about. Was that the Sion Lilia game, or was that 2 weekends ago for Red
that was, yeah, it was the game with the Cassante. I think it was a Pain versus Furia game.
Okay.
And there was a Cassante that just like, man, he just couldn't get to XP range.
Yeah.
And they sent
yeah,
support down to try and help him. And then he like walks up before support gets there and dies. It's like, oh, what are we? It's really rough stuff happening.
Yeah. Preventable mistakes. The lane swaps haven't been kind to Brazil. But even then, like, because that was another thing is I noticed myself kind of as the year wore on last year, because I pay the most attention to LTA South, the CBLOL at the time. Like, I was like, how do these lane swaps actually work? Because we just didn't see them a lot in the South. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't buy into them. And I think, yeah, they could really bite us in the butt, especially because TL were kind of the lane swap team, right? That's how they got a lot of their advantages in 2024 split two. Now it's becoming a little less prevalent. And clearly, you know, the rest of the league in the North has caught on to them. But I didn't even kind of think about that, Kangas. Again, Isurus Estral, I trust their coaching staff. I trust their players. But this could be absolutely be a mismatch just because I don't know how much these players saw. They didn't really see it in split one.
Okay, so that is the concern. I'll hold my prediction, but I was hoping more for you to be like, oh, they're the one team that got it, because that, I think, is even the biggest weakness. But, Mizell, now it's your time. You can talk us back down. You have Team Liquid 2-0, so why are you so confident in the boys?
I think the time off is going to be really good for them. I think the lead-in, they always have a good transition to kind of playing abroad, and I do not think they're going to be satisfied with what they showed in LTA North. So I expect a little bit of a fire under their asses. At least I hope. That's my biggest hope.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see Team Liquid take it. I would feel bad, though, if not a single South team made it out of round one. So
that's why I have...
Yeah, I will say that the four of us all nine.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. the four of us all picked a team to go through, but oh man.
If we're gonna sacrifice one after Umpty and APA's performance this past weekend, I'm okay sacrificing them. It feels bad to say that about APA. I'm a big fan, but I'm really excited for 100 Thieves and FlyQuest, and C9 just looked too good for me to like completely count them out. So that's why I'm also going this way. But that's our thoughts, everybody. Let us know yours again in the community Discord. You can find a link in the description wherever you are listening to this. But that's it. We have two more weekends of LTA. Both will be in Brazil. The winners this weekend will be advancing. Then we have a semifinals on the following Saturday with the finals on that Sunday. Only finals will be best of five, and that will be a lot of people's first look at full Fearless best of five. That's going to be really cool.
Going to be a slapper
for all the
I'm
audience.
Excited, man.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that too. We had like partial Fearless best of fives, but not full Fearless. I don't believe or am I just misreferencing that, Mizell? Did we ever have full Fearless in NACL? I think it was still the partial.
We did.
No. Oh, yeah, it was full Fearless, but it was the best of fives. We didn't have 50 or 40 champs banned plus the 10.
Yep, it was game four was three bans and game five was no bans.
Yeah, so this is the first time that if we go to game five for that finals, there are 50 champions taken off, and you guess what? How many champions remain? 120. There's still a lot of fucking champions in League of Legends, man. But that's going to be fun to watch. Hopefully we do go the full five games. Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us. And thank you, 4Y4, for hopping on and chatting with us. It was great having you on. This is your chance to plug whatever you want to plug, man.
Oh,
if you want to do your unofficial English stream, make sure you get your socials in there, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, look, for me, you know, my socials are not as important. Follow it's at LTA_South, not Sul, right? Because that is the Spanish/Portuguese word for it. And that's in the official channel. But for us, it is LTA_South. And we've got a link tree, link in bio, that type of thing. So there you will find our Twitter, our YouTube, which has our podcast as well, our Spotify, which has our podcast as well. And then it's called Gringos Liberados because the Brazilian equivalent of the dive was called Tropas Liberadas. And that's like the thing that the announcer says when it says minions have spawned. So they just do like that little voice line and they drop into the podcast. And so we were like, all right, well,
that's awesome.
Like they gave the Gringos the ability to be Liberado. So we're going to get Liberado on this podcast. Very, very unhinged takes. We had one of our takes go viral, which I'll tell you guys later. It's not important right now, but LTA_South. We've also got a link to our community Discord in there. Honestly, that's our kind of most valuable asset, honestly, because we've got a community in there of people from literally all over the world that some of them have known about CBLOL for a long time. Some of them have come to it just now. We had a couple of people from Captain Flower's most recent raid just join our community Discord. And now they're like, you know, talking and learning about the lore and, you know, all the shenanigans from kind of native Brazilians and stuff like that. But everyone's speaking English there. So if you can understand the words coming out of my mouth right now, you will understand the discourse in the Discord.
That is incredible. Make sure to check it out, everybody. More communities to engage with that love League of Legends just like you do. But again, seriously, thank you for coming on giving your big brain insight into all the teams and the players. Mizell, of course, thank you for coming on, as always. Yeah. Make sure to go support his project. Look at this. I got so many cool people around me. Mizell's got the unofficial LPL coverage. That's LPL underscore English on the socials, as well as just LPL English on Twitch. Is that right?
Yep.
Perfect. Go check that out. Go support that if you can.
Our Doimby interview went live today as of recording. Yeah. So nice. Make sure you go watch it.
Hell yeah, dude! That's a big interview. You've been getting some really cool interviews on the channel.
Yeah,
that's great to see. As
you
well,
get
as
early access if you subscribe.
Hey, woo! There you go, and you're also supporting a good cause, making sure that everyone gets access to all that cool content. So, thank you everybody so much for tuning in. The only thing I will ask of you is if you could raise a hand, look at the number of fingies that you have, as Mizell likes to remind me. I believe there should be 5 on there. If you could drop then 5 stars on a review wherever you're listening, really helps us out, get noticed, as well as grow the podcast. But mostly what I want you to walk away with is this message. We love you, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye. Yes.